So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise, and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so it is with the sinner. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes the hearts of men. Moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Everyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favours what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom. I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them.
Let's pray as we think about this word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us for our good. We thank you that in the difficulties of life, you don't ignore those difficulties, but you confront them head on. You expose our world for what it is. Father, we ask that you would reorient our hearts and our minds back to you. May we not long for the things of this world that are passing away. Please teach us now from your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When you meet someone for the first time, it's common to ask them, what do you do? Hopefully you ask them their name first, exchange pleasantries, but it's very common to ask after that, what do you do? Well, how do you answer that question? When someone asks you, what is it that you do? Think over this last week. In this last week, what has most of your time gone into? What have you put your energy into over the last week? Where's all your effort gone? And to what end? Who or what have you invested your love in? We all live as if we're doing something really important. We live as if what we do matters. After all, no one wants to spend their life doing something pointless, do they? So we rush around, we work hard, we stress, we persevere to achieve something that lasts. It might mean working hard, even long hours, to earn money so you can have what you want. It might mean giving up the chance to earn so you can travel. Or it might mean putting career goals to one side to give your time to your family. It might mean studying hard so you can get where you want to go, or studying less so you can start a rock band. Whatever it is, we do it because we think it's important. We think it's meaningful. We do it because we think it can give us something, money or happiness or love or comfort or security or rest. What is it that you do day after day? Where does your time, your effort, your energy and your love go week after week? And is what you do important? Is it meaningful? Does it matter? What gain does it bring? What difference does it make? Solomon's told us, as we've been reading through Ecclesiastes, he's told us again and again, life under the sun is havel. This life, the things we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, the things we experience in this life, they're havel. Remember, that word means a small breath. They're gone almost immediately. Chasing after things like money or wisdom or pleasure, it's like trying to catch sunlight in a jar. These things don't last. You can't keep them. They can't bring you lasting gain. When we get to this section of chapter 8 and 9 that we're looking at today, Solomon starts talking about the underlying reason for this. He tells us why life under the sun is havel. He tells us why there's no lasting gain. He's hinted at it before, so it's not going to be a surprise to us, but now he lays it out for us. And as he gets to the heart of the issue, it's no surprise that these chapters are very dark, very pessimistic. After all, he's about to give us the reasons for why he thinks life under the sun is meaningless. But it's not all dark, and it's not all hopeless. In fact, the reason Solomon wants us to confront reality is so we can spend life doing what is really important. So let's take a look and see why Solomon says life is havel. Solomon turns to talk about death and about injustice. Injustice happens. It's a fact of life, Solomon says. Life is havel because life is unjust. You only have to observe how people live and you'll see injustice. You'll see wicked people succeed. Have a look at chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 8, verse 10, Solomon says, I saw the wicked buried, those who used to come and go from the holy place and receive praise in the city where they did this. This too is havel. Wicked people appear to be righteous, to be good, and they receive praise for it. That's the kind of world we live in. And when justice does happen, it often happens far too slowly. Slow justice is unjust. Verse 11, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. It's bad when justice is delayed. But Solomon says it is still better to fear God. It's better to trust God than to be wicked. Even though justice is slow in coming, it's better in the end to trust God. Even though justice is slow in coming, it will come. Have a look at verse 12, he says. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing men who are reverent before God. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. That's what Solomon believes, even though it's not what he sees in this life under the sun. He believes God's just. He believes trusting God is good. He believes it won't go well for the wicked, even though he sees the exact opposite. He believes that even though the justice systems of this world fail, God will bring justice. But what he sees with his eyes is righteous people suffering and wicked people prospering. In verse 14, there is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is havel. Solomon's just describing reality for us. We live in an unjust world. It's a world where people can cut in the queue at the supermarket just because they think their schedule is more important than whatever you're doing that day. We live in a world where celebrities are caught drink driving and they get nothing but a slap on the wrist because they're famous. We live in a world where things like war crimes, genocides, sex trafficking happen again and again. Idi Amin, the Ugandan dictator, tortured and killed hundreds of thousands of people, brought his country poverty, lived the last 25 years of his life in peace, never punished for his crimes. Joseph Stalin, leader of the Soviet Union, killed millions of his own people. Millions more died in famines under his rule, never punished for his crimes. Joseph Mengele did horrendous human experiments as part of the Nazi regime, spent the last decade of his life in Brazil, and died at a beachside resort. The list goes on and on. We don't see justice done. The innocent suffer and die, while the guilty go free. It seems like it doesn't really matter if you're righteous or if you're wicked. But we know, don't we? Like Solomon did, even though we don't see it. It's better to be righteous. It's not good to be wicked. One day God will bring all evil to justice. Solomon says there's some things we need to realize about reality. There's no point being driven to despair by injustice. Don't spend your life thinking every single wrong has to be righted. If you think like that, you'll go mad. If you want to be wise, don't let injustice ruin your life. If you want to be wise, don't let injustice fill you with anger. Don't let it make your heart hard. Don't let it make you bitter and hateful. Going down that path leads to one of two things. In the face of injustice, either you spend your life seeking revenge, or you despair and do nothing. Seek justice, but don't let injustice consume you. We need to trust God. At just the right time, he'll bring full and final justice to the earth. We also need to trust God because all of us, good or bad, are going to die. And we don't know when our death will be. We don't even know what's in store tomorrow. Tomorrow people could love us, tomorrow people could hate us. We don't know. What we do know is no matter who we are, no matter what we're like, no matter if we do good or evil, no matter if we honour God or not, we'll all die. Everyone dies. Have a look at chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1, Solomon says, "I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no man knows whether love or hate awaits him. All share a common destiny. The righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good man, so with the sinner." In Ecclesiastes, Solomon wants to confront us with reality. He wants to hit us over the head with it, and this is the reality he wants us to understand. Life, this life under the sun, this short life, life is full of misery, and then you die. None of us can go even a day without feeling some kind of pain, some kind of frustration, some kind of sorrow, some kind of misery, not even a day. And this is Australia in 2016. Never mind the other 99% of humanity that aren't half as well off as we are. Life is full of misery. We're so in the habit of looking for something that lasts in life that we naturally want to say, but what about this beautiful thing I have here? My children, my wife, my husband, my house, my hobby, these experiences. Ecclesiastes says they won't last. In fact, they actually contribute to your misery, as good as they are. Take a look at verse 3. "This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of man, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterward they join the dead." Life sucks, then you die. That's reality. And that's why everything in this life under the sun is havel. Death is the reason nothing lasts, and there's no lasting gain to be had. Everyone dies. English poet Kingsley Amis wrote about his death. He said, "Death has this much to be said for it. You don't have to get out of bed for it. Wherever you happen to be, they bring it to you free." And the late Christopher Hitchens, journalist and famous atheist, he didn't have much time for people who were surprised when death came to them. He said, To the dumb question, why me, the cosmos barely bothers to return the reply, why not? Hitchens and Amos, they saw what Solomon saw. We all die. This is the reality Solomon wants us to understand. Life is short, it's painful, it's frustrating, and then you die. Solomon wants us to see that, so that we can see how to live wisely in this world. He tells us how a wise person should live. He says, if you want to be wise, enjoy life. Enjoy your food, enjoy the good things you have, enjoy your marriage if you're married, enjoy your work, enjoy it all. But of course, don't look for lasting gain in it, because soon you'll be dead. Enjoy it for what it is now. Take a look at verse 7. Verse 7, he says, go, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favours what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labour under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave, where you're going, there's neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. I've always thought that'd make a really good wedding Bible passage read out. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, if I can just make it through this week, if I can just make it to my next holiday, if I can just make it through uni, if I can just make it to retirement, then I'll enjoy life. No, enjoy life now. If you want to be wise, don't waste your life moping about looking to the future. Anoint your head with oil. He's not talking about engine oil there. It's much nicer than that. He's saying, wash your hair, wear perfume. This is what Solomon would have done when he was happy, when he was celebrating. This is the life he lived. Verses 11 and 12 are a kind of conclusion to everything that Solomon has just said. He uses the image of a bird or a fish to show what he means. He says, life's unjust. Being wise, being strong, being intelligent, being rich, being good doesn't make you better off than anyone else. Chance happens to everyone. An accident could happen to anyone. And at any time, we're like a bird about to be caught in a trap or a fish in a net. Our time could be up at any moment. Have a look at verse 11. Verse 11, Solomon says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. You see Solomon's 2 points? Justice is no certainty, but death is. In this life, there will not be perfect justice, but there will be death. So Solomon's wise advice is good. Be content and enjoy life. It isn't the full picture, though, is it? Throughout Ecclesiastes, Solomon also looks beyond the injustice and death of this world. He looks forward to the day when God will judge everyone, when he'll say, enough is enough, when all the dark deeds will be brought to light. Thankfully, we can see that day of judgment even clearer than Solomon could. What looks like one day of judgment from the Old Testament perspective, when you get to the New Testament, it turns out to be two. There's still the great judgment to come when every human being, living and dead, Christian and non-Christian, will have to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And yet there's another day that's already happened, another day of judgment, the day when Jesus, the judge of the world, took on himself the judgment we deserve. He didn't deserve it. It was the greatest act of injustice in history. Jesus entered into the havel of the world, the injustice of the world, and it turned it, and he turned it to his own good purposes by taking the judgment we deserve, by winning for us new hearts, by calling us to repentance and forgiveness of sins. He prepared us to be saved on the last day of judgment, the day when he'll return in glory and power and judge with righteousness and justice. All those who put their trust in him, repent from their sins and follow him, they'll be saved on that last day. That's good news. But there's even more good news. When we repent of our sins, Christ works in us to do good works for him. It's the work of his Holy Spirit to change us and reshape us. And the Bible tells us something amazing about those good works, something miraculous. Unlike everything else in this world, those good works done in service of Christ will not be destroyed by death. Unlike all the other things Solomon's mentioned, these will last. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, we read, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on.' Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." And when Paul describes his life in Philippians, when he describes what all his deeds, all his works are striving for, it isn't any future hope in this world. It isn't any gain in this world, things that are havel. No, the only gain that he looks for is the gain that will never perish, spoil, or fade. The only thing he wants to gain is seeing Christ, is seeing Jesus. And so that's how he lives. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." The writer of Hebrews describes the martyrs of the Old Testament who gave up the comforts of this life because they knew this life was havel. They knew it was fleeting and meaningless. He says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, "Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection." So if you want to be wise, make sure you know the difference between things that are havel and things that aren't. And the things that won't bring lasting gain, well, enjoy them. Be content with them, but the things that can bring lasting gain, pour your life into them. When you invest in your relationship with Christ your King through reading God's Word, that'll bring you lasting gain. When you invest in the ASX, it won't. When you love your kids by showing them Jesus, that'll bring lasting gain. When you love them by sending them to the best school you can, that won't. When your neighbour makes a passing comment about the injustice of the world and you make the effort to tell them about the justice that comes through Jesus, that'll bring lasting gain. When you make the effort to have a nicer car than your neighbour, that won't. When you give up time to have your brothers and sisters in Christ in your house to share your life with them, that'll bring lasting gain. When you give your time up to watching Netflix, well, enjoy it, but it won't bring lasting gain. When you give money to a charity and you do it in grumpiness because there happened to be a guy who bothers you at the shop, that won't bring lasting gain. But when you do it in compassion and love because Jesus has taught you how to love, that love brings lasting gain. Next time when someone asks, "What do? Maybe you don't say it, it'd be a bit clunky in the conversation, but I hope you can at least honestly say to yourself, "In this life under the sun, I labour for my Lord Jesus." And that matters. It makes a difference. I do not labour in vain. Will that be you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the world keeps wanting us to put our hope in the here and now, in the future of this world, in our plans and dreams and our goals, in our savings and our education, whatever it is. Father, thank you that you show us the reality of these things, that they're fleeting, that they're disappearing. Father, please remind us each day just to enjoy the day that you have given us and to be thankful to you for what you have given us on that day, to not put our hopes and our dreams in the future of this world that is so random. Father, we ask that we would put our ultimate hope in the gain that will last forever, the gain of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. We thank you for his death on the cross on our behalf. We thank you for his resurrection, that he gives us new life. We thank you that he will return to judge in justice and might and truth. And we thank you that we can look forward to an eternity with him and with an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.